podcast stuff.
This is Twisted Cat.
I'm Patch.
I'm Mr. Wizard.
I'm Feline Machine.
And I'm Scattergood.
We just got done seeing
Ginger.
Well, sort of.
We planned on seeing Ginger.
Ginger opened, and then there was traffic. We were told Batman was there. He's gone back to work, but he said that they were very good.
They said they were very good too.
So did Breaking Benjamin. Everybody liked them.
Yes. Except, well, we would have liked them, I'm quite sure, had we actually seen them.
I'm going to like them in absentia.
There you go.
I heard them while we were walking in, and I've heard their stuff before, so I know I like them.
Right, but parking lot music is not always the best audio. No. Anyway, but then there was Breaking Benjamin and Disturbed, which was fucking brilliant.
Two of the greatest touring bands in metal at the moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They both put on fucking excellent shows.
Yeah. Ben had his son up on stage and was so, like, openly loving about him, which was lovely.
Yeah.
And the kid was adorable. They had taped a little box for him to stand in because there was pyro and the fire marshal had opinions.
Yeah, we should specify because metal. Actually, like, pyrotechnics, not some dude named Pyro.
You would still want to quarantine the child.
What are you talking about? The only ward against Pyro, the person, is a square made of masking tape.
I mean, to be fair, I do know two people named Pyro.
Are they similarly repelled by pieces of tape?
They are, and I wouldn't let either of them near children.
So, there you go. So it warranted quarantine. But Ben's voice was not all that it usually is, but I really blame the sound for not being awesome. It was poorly mixed.
Yeah, the sound for the... So Breaking Benjamin, normally their sound is fucking dialed in.
Yeah.
And they sounded great from the parking lot, let me tell you, as I was walking in. They sounded fucking awesome out here.
And it's not even that they weren't headlining, because I have seen two other shows where they were not headlining. One with Disturbed, and they were great. So it was something with specific to the equipment here, I think.
Yeah, I honestly think that they had an equipment failure and they were able to fix it between the second and third sets.
Did you notice how much equipment got rolled out of the sound booth between Benjamin and Disturbed?
That's because that was all of their sound equipment specific to
Disturbed
Breaking Benjamin.
Disturbed was working on house and...
No, they
or
had,
their
they
own.
Had, they had, they, both bands had their own sound equipment.
Oh, okay.
But I did notice that partway through the set, the sound did improve. So it still was wonky, but it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, and as a general rule, the first song in any Breaking Benjamin set is always crap.
Yeah, because they're still dialing it in.
It's like every time I've seen Breaking Benjamin, the first song has been way out of whack, and then they nail it in, and I don't know why that is.
And it's interesting because when I saw them in Riverside, that show that I drove out to all by my lonesome,
Riverside.
It was a great show.
I'm sure it was.
Venue. Anyway, I was sitting right behind lighting and sound, and I struck up a conversation in between sets with the lighting guy, as one does.
Because of course you did.
Well, I started off by asking him if I could take a picture of his board for my husband, but anyway.
My husband does lighting.
So, but they are really, really particular about, you know, as per this guy, about sound and lighting, like, it has to be perfect or you get canned kind of thing. So I don't know why their first song is always terrible. It's like, you guys need a better sound check.
Something. I don't know. It is weird. But every single time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's just one of the quirks of live music, too. But the energy they brought was phenomenal.
Yes.
Always is. Always is.
And I love that they're still able to tap into that genuine appreciation, right? That they've been, he was saying, they've been touring for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to spot the musicians that grow accustomed to that experience,
mm-hmm.
and who even get jaded by it.
Yeah, there's definitely a distinct, even Disturbed also, there's just a profound lack of irony in it.
Yes.
They're just, it's, they're in it for its own sake.
So yeah. So Ben very specifically doesn't take the experience for granted.
Yeah.
He was done.
He was almost giddy when he was saying, "Look at me, I get to retire by doing this."
But he was done with music many years.
The band didn't record for like 7 years or something like that because he got really sick. He still suffers from some pain disorder stuff, and he wasn't sure he was going to come back to do this at all. He absolutely doesn't take this for granted. This is a very conscious choice on his part because this is what he loves doing.
And he brings that to the stage.
He does. Yeah.
And he brings that to the audience.
Yeah.
Right? This is my first time seeing them live.
Oh.
And it was something that I was able to connect with before he said it, because it's so present in the energy that they bring.
And he's really done an amazing job of crafting a band around him full of talented and passionate musicians.
Yeah, Breaking Benjamin 1.0, like before he got sick, for the studio stuff, he did like pretty much everything.
Yeah, all the vocals were him, all the screamo was him, and he has since crafted a band of three other people who can play guitar, can do the vocal stuff in the same range or similar range that he does. And each member of the band now has a sliver of Benjamin that they cover.
Yeah.
How neat.
I actually thought it was pretty cute that I didn't know that, but the three vocalists, mm-hmm. the three primary vocalists did manage a pretty good harmony in several points.
Yes.
So yeah.
That was a great...
It's one of the things that they definitely do intentionally.
Yeah. And I mean, I think all of the bands that we really appreciate with this podcast all bring joy to the stage. The ones where we're kind of meh on are the ones who like expect the audience to do a thing and demand it, as opposed to like, hey, wouldn't it be great if you...
What about Nonpoint?
I was actually thinking about Saving Abel, but yeah.
Aren't they the same band?
I don't know. But, yeah. So, yay, Breaking Benjamin. I would, travel to Vegas to see them, as I have. I would travel to Concord to see them, as I have. In fact, I traveled to Concord on a rocket run to see them with Disturbed, which brings me to
Disturbed. What can be said about Draymond and the Boys?
They were really on tonight.
They really were.
He had a really great jacket on when he came out.
Yeah, he always
does. Always, yeah.
Oh, God, I love his outfits.
They never last more than two songs, though.
I love the difference between offstage David Draymond and onstage David Draymond, because offstage, he is so wonderfully nebbishy.
Yeah. I'm loving the transformation of David into that actor whose name you're gonna supply now.
I can't remember, but
God damn it.
I know who we're talking about.
Yes.
He was the gay best friend in Sex and the City.
Hopefully this helps someone listening to the podcast.
But he's transformed over the years into like this wonderful nebbishy middle-aged Jewish man, and he openly admits it on Twitter. He's like, I'm turning into my grandfather.
It's brilliant.
And then he gets on stage
on Sex and the City,
and he just embodies this same stage presence that he's had since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
and all of that melts away, and you see this like minor deity of metal, and I'm only saying minor because, like, I don't want to piss the gods off.
I don't. That's not who I was thinking of.
Well, that's who I was thinking of.
Okay.
So interesting thing. When they came out with their cover of The Sound of Silence,
yeah, which Paul Simon loved,
right?
How could he not?
Right. It's so good. It was very, very clear to me that Brent Smith from Shinedown had been kind of upping the bar for everybody on vocals. And I think they just returned the favor because Shinedown really usually has an amazing pyro show.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to fucking live up to that.
God. That lighting was lighting amazing.
Oh my God.
I wish Batman were here to talk about that lighting. I'm going to try at some point.
It was three tiers of five articulated sections of
fire.
LED panel and lights and propane effects in each section.
And two different kinds of propane effects.
And there was also...
Yeah, with the four individual, like, chandelier-style drop-down.
Yeah, there was also more moving up there.
And can we briefly touch on the fire piano?
Oh, the fire piano was awesome!
Yes!
because I've seen pyro at shows. What I have not seen is a piano on fire. During a rendition of, and speaking of Sound of Silence, when I heard their Sound of Silence, I knew one thing back when they put it out, and that was that every music venue was now going to play this version in preference of any other version.
Sure.
And that has held true.
Yep.
So my favorite thing about the Sounds of Silence phenomenon that was Disturbed's release of that is that... I've heard an interview with David. He used to think that he couldn't sing.
Yeah.
He used to think that his job was to get out there and shout and make angry monkey noises.
Right. I can see that.
He's very good at it.
For years as Disturbed.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, David, you should sing this song. And I don't remember the details of the story. He tells it much better, of course. But he's like, but I can't... I'm not a singer. I don't sing. Yes, I'm the front man of a fucking rock band, but I don't sing. And whoever's was putting him up to it was like, bullshit. Do it. And he did it, and he was blown away by his own self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank God for that person, then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
I also was curious what their set was going to sound like, what songs they were going to play, because their most recent album is like 40 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
They played one song from that album. They played their single from the new album.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it from the new album. Everything else was just going back through their whole discography. And
not going to lie, I'm very thankful for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I learned that I have heard four Disturbed songs, whereas as of 2 days ago, I was fairly certain I had only heard two. I did the old man trying to be cool thing of pull up the greatest hits album and go, I was like, okay, there's Down with the Sickness. Okay, there's Sound of Silence. And right after that, I was like, now that's what I call music.
But I think that that's partially why they do the set that they do. So that the audience can hear the full breadth of what they're capable of.
It's a thing with older bands now that they are being a little bit more thoughtful about how they're curating a performance. Like, mm-hmm. This is like, we're not just playing you the new stuff, because they understand that there maybe are people that are coming that like me, heard Disturbed, you know, 15 years ago and thought they were great, but haven't really caught up. So, and there's nothing, as I learned with the last Ghost concert I went to, there's nothing more awkward than going, I love this band, and walking in and realizing that they've put out two albums in the last 3 years and you haven't heard any of them.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay. And then they close out with a song you do know, and you're like, okay, we've salvaged that from a, you know, dumpster fire. So this was just, for me, this was great. You know, I got to hear all of Disturbed, you know, more or less.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I've been following Disturbed for, as long as years. Yes, as long as they've been around. And they played a couple of songs that I was not immediately familiar with.
Yeah, same. And ones that I was expecting once I figured out that it was like a broad swath of their songs, ones I was expecting that I didn't hear.
Really? That's right. They didn't play Stupefied.
No, they did. They didn't play Deify.
Oh.
And I was expecting them to play Deify because it's topical again. Because we've got another fucking tyrant.
Yeah.
Right. Trump, to be clear, if anyone's listening.
Sure. I would be thrilled if they stopped doing the sickness, and I realize that that will never happen. But I'm just going to put it out there.
I'm with you completely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm over it.
It's the break in the middle.
You can't play to 10,000 bros in Orange County and not play the sickness. It's just...
It was very entertaining that when they were done with that, the bros all walked out.
Yeah.
Look,
to not play it, you would be betraying their Bud Miller Coors drinking hearts.
I did love, though, speaking of ways that they were putting together the set, they did a really great job emotionally with the set.
Yes.
So
really delightfully choreographed journey.
I've seen them twice now. And they've done it both times. David is, and by proxy, I'm sure the rest of the band, I don't want to put it all on him, but he's the one who talks to us. He's the one who really shows the emotion as he did tonight. More on that in a minute. But it is clearly very important to him that he is being that positive masculine role model of showing vulnerability, of talking about addiction and depression and mental health and admitting his own struggles, let alone the numerous people that he's lost over time to these struggles.
Yeah. And let's normalize interrupting a set for a tribute and a cry. It's important.
Yeah.
Well,
especially tonight.
Yeah, well, interestingly, it hadn't occurred to me until tonight, but this is the second time I have been here on this date. And were you at the Shinedown show?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Shinedown did a similar thing, but it wasn't as deeply moving to me.
It wasn't as openly emotional.
Yeah, as what David did.
Today, for those of you not in the know of what day this is.
Because, like, you're going to listen to this in a few days anyway,
yeah.
So whatever.
Tonight is Chris Cornell's birthday and the day that Chester Bennington left us. So those happened on the same day?
Yes.
Grief.
There's a whole thing with that, but yeah.
Six years ago, Chester and Chris, and he mentioned... obviously Scott and Keith and several other the warning is playing. Sorry,
the radio is muted.
We're in the sound booth, which is my car.
It's a very small van,
and I guess because I follow David Draymond on Twitter, I wasn't surprised about what he talked about with his own journey with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's very open about that on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But judging by the reactions of everyone around me, a bunch of people don't follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, probably not. Like, I know that this topic is very important to him, and I know that he talks about it a lot. I didn't know that he had his own personal struggles, per se. I mean, everybody has their own personal struggles, right?
Yeah.
But...
That's what every Skeletor meme on the internet tells me.
Yeah. Until next time, friends. I've got nothing left to say.
Yeah, did I break you?
We just kind of ruined the emotional moment there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I told you I wasn't going to be helpful.
No, really
it's
great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. But it was really good. And to your point, It created this emotional through line.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the audience on a journey through not just the songs and the energy level of the song, but of connecting more deeply with the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure it didn't hurt that it also gave them a physical break. They're not young anymore. And that was a really long set.
Yes.
And that was a very physically active set for dudes their age. They did not stop moving while they were on stage except for the quiet songs.
Well, and it was interesting. They had, like, these musical interludes where stuff was changing on the stage where they weren't having to perform. And I liked that they sort of built that in, but there wasn't, like, these blank spots. They filled it with, you know... something. So
Yeah.
And it wasn't relying on Brent telling a story.
Yeah.
it was an intentional crafting of the whole experience.
But yeah, and so my experience with them is that they put a lot of thought and a lot of craft into their live show.
Yeah. And it was theatrical, right? The lighting and the propane effects or the pyro effects and the way that they took the beats and used very traditional stage lighting to silhouette the crew that were moving the instruments and other equipment on and off stage. It was very theatrical.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The pyro at the start was so even and so perfect. I seriously thought it was just a giant LED screen at first. It was so absolutely linear and symmetrical and perfect. And then, like, the middle rack started to wane a little bit on the right side. And I was like, holy shit, that's actual pyro? That's amazing. Yeah.
And for people who are curious, I did take a video of the first song, so you can look at that on YouTube and see what it is.
It's funny that you call them theatrical, because I don't think of Disturbed as a theatrical band, because two of my favorite bands are Ghost and Avatar.
Those are theatrical
bands.
Yeah.
But they put together their set very well. I think it's a knowledge of theater as opposed to theatrical.
Well, for a band with that sound, they have that sort of elusive rock star quality, or at the very least they've dialed in on what it is, and they are able to sort of wield it in their shows. I don't know if you'd necessarily call it theatricality, but it's they know what they're about, and they're able to get you, you know, suck you into it.
Yeah. I would agree with that completely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did we hit on all the points?
The only other thing that I wanted to say I loved, again, about the lighting, but different angle of it, that's how you do lighting that can light the audience without blinding the audience.
Seriously, thank you so much.
That's how you can do strobing lights without causing seizures in people.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any bad effects, and that got pretty strobey because they always had a solid light paired with the stroby light.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and it was so nice. There was one song right at the end where they had like spotlights that went out over the audience, and it was thematically part of the context and the content of that song.
Yeah.
And once they actually got to the body of the song, it stopped. That's how you do it.
But it was explicitly to bring the audience into the song.
Yeah.
As opposed to make them nauseous.
Right. Or in my case, mad. I don't get nauseous. I get angry. I didn't come to your show to be fucking blinded.
That band that opened for Green Day.
Oh, God, that band that opened for Green Day.
That was so annoying.
They had whatever they were doing in, like, their second or third song, I did get blinded because there were two of those strobe lights that seemed to be pointed directly at me, and I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable. So I basically just covered one of my eyes and looked at the video screen
for it.
But after that, it was just flashy goodness, flashy pyro-y goodness.
Yeah.
And if you need further evidence that their show was fucking fantastic, I did see one of the Breaking Benjamin guitarists out to see part of the set. So, yeah.
That's fun.
Good enough that even their touring bandmates are out checking it out.
Yeah. Sure. And, like, bringing the 4-year-old kid, Jordan, on stage.
Oh, I love that. I love it when they do that.
But the moment of, like, I'm not bringing your kid up on stage without you. You get up here too. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
And that was literally as the kid was being grabbed by the security guard to get over the fence. So yeah, it was pretty perfect.
So much dad rock.
Love it. The fact that like the bands that we grew up with are now like dad rock.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
I have mixed feelings.
Oh, I'm 100% okay with this. This is the best thing ever.
I am also 100% okay with this, but I understand your mixed feelings.
They've traded the hairspray for Gargle and Fry. It's fine.
It's not that I'm not okay with it. It's that I'm not okay with the linearity of time.
I mean, they did play a Genesis cover for a reason, right?
What is time anyway?
I don't think that's a problem we can address on the podcast.
Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
But Genesis to me is the ultimate dad rock, so. Yeah.
Sure.
Who knew that a friggin' song by Phil Collins in the 80s would still be relevant today?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that was...
I have thoughts on that, but this isn't a politics podcast.
Yeah. I've loved that song since the first time I heard it.
Oh, I thought I hated that song, but then I found myself singing along.
So the music video for the original Genesis version is a Sid and Marty Krofft video. with the DC Follies puppets.
Wow.
Okay, well, I know what I'm going to go look up as soon as I get home.
Same.
Yeah, we have youngins in the car, apparently.
It's also that I'm pop culture stupid.
Yeah.
It's magical. It's magical. Go see it. They even, Sid and Marty Krofft made Genesis puppets for the video.
Who are Sid and Marty
Krofft? Oh.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
Now I'm old too.
So go Google DC Follies. I would say Google HR Puffin stuff, but don't.
Okay. I have no clue on that too, so.
Yeah.
Oh. Golly.
Yeah.
Oh, DC puppeteers. Follies. Puppeteers.
They're puppeteers.
Going backwards, though.
Okay.
In terms of charming, delightful things, look, I knew that Breaking Benjamin, Ben did the heart thing to the crowd a lot, but I didn't expect to fall in love with him for doing it so much during the set.
Oh, there are so many reasons to love Ben.
Yeah.
But that was adorable.
He is
adorable.
Absolutely.
He's always been adorable.
And I think that's one of the main reasons that I am not going to stop saying that was such a great show for a very long time, which is both of those singers just made such a point of bringing the audience in over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that they are both great at.
Yeah. And the fact that David Draiman is who he is made me immediately comfortable with the bands that he invited to open. It's really nice to be at a metal show and not have to be on the lookout for neo-Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're not going to fucking show up. Yeah. Or if they do, they're going to regret it real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. For a great show.
Yes.
Yes.
Great show. Great bands.
All right. So I've been Twisted Cat.
I'm Patch.
I'm Mr. Wizard.
I'm Feline Machine.
I'm Scattergood.
Get in the van!
We're doing podcast stuff!